We are quickly approaching the end of another church year, which has me thinking not only about endings and beginnings, but also about some important facts about St. Philip the Deacon that are worth celebrating. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. We are taping this before the second to last weekend of the church year. I think we've talked about the liturgical year of the church before. And again, we have two weekends left, Sunday, November 16th and Sunday, November 23rd. So that sort of has me thinking about strange as it might seem, the end of the year, even though it's not the end of the calendar year, if that makes sense. And by the way, this sort of penultimate weekend of the church year, we focus in our readings on last things or end times. And then the final weekend of the church year, we focus on a festival called Christ the King, which is a sort of reminder that Christ is our King and will be our King for all eternity. It's a very appropriate way to conclude the church year. So my thoughts are, I guess, a few. One general thought about the church calendar. I think I've mentioned this before, but it maybe bears repeating. And that is, I think I mentioned this even or implied it earlier in what I said, I think there is power in the church's liturgical calendar being slightly off from the calendar most of us think about in terms of the calendar year beginning on January 1st. I just think there's something healthy in naming the start of the church year with the first Sunday of Advent and the end of the year as, again, Christ the King, which comes in late November typically. It reminds us as Christians that we see the world a little differently, that we march to a different drummer, that we pay attention to time in a different way than the world around us. And I think that's healthy and valuable and good. And again, maybe we'll talk about this in more depth another time, but broadly speaking, as a bit of an aside, the church calendar, again, it does begin with Advent. And the first half of the year is always repeats for us the story of Jesus with his preparing for his birth at Christmas, then his being made known to the nations at Epiphany. Then we move to Lent, and then, of course, to Holy Week when we remember his sacrifice, and ultimately we conclude with the Easter Sunday, and Easter as a season is the longest season of the church year, 50 days. So again, that first half of the year is all about the story of Jesus. The second half of the year is the opportunity for us now as Christians to sort of, having heard that story, to reflect on that story for our own lives and think about what it means for us. So in any case, we are approaching the end of the year, and so I've got the end of the year in mind, and of course anticipating the start of the next church year with the first Sunday of Advent. But so that's some broad comments about the liturgical calendar or the liturgical year, the end of the year. But as I'm thinking about it, two specific points about St. Philip the Deacon that I think it's worth celebrating, again, as we come to the end of this church year. And they both have to do with our youngest members and our younger families here at St. Philip the Deacon. And again, there are a couple of data points that I wanted to lift up here just to raise them and to celebrate them as a congregation. And that is, first of all, in 2025, we've already had more baptisms than any year in the preceding 5 years. I mentioned this actually in a letter to the congregation that I sent out recently. That's a wonderful sign of, again, the word I will use is health. It's a wonderful sign that younger families are finding their way to us and that their children are being baptized. And so I celebrate that. That's one data point. The other data point is the day before I'm taping this, so that would have been on Tuesday, the 11th of November, we had a First Communion workshop, and that First Communion workshop was the largest group of young children who are preparing to receive First Communion that I can remember maybe in my tenure here. And so again, another real wonderful sign of health, a sign of a critical mass of younger families. Those young people, by the way, will be receiving First Communion. I hope I've got this right. If I'm making a mistake, we will correct it in a graphic. But I think they're actually going to be receiving it on the final Sunday of the church year. So that's November 23rd. So again, as we come to the end of this church year, I wanted just to name those two demographic data points as a way to celebrate them. And also then just to say to everyone connected to St. Philip the Deacon, thank you, thank you, thank you for making this such an amazing, wonderful, healthy, vital, vibrant congregation. Someone I actually went to college with visited church last weekend and was here, and he followed up with me, and he just made the comment that, you know, I visited a lot of churches, and coming to St. Philip the Deacon, I immediately sensed as I entered it, he'd never been here before, what an incredible place this is. And I happen to agree with him. I guess you would expect me to say that, but I do think it's true. And as I say all the time, I think if you're connected to St. Philip the Deacon, I invite you to pause to give thanks for this congregation, and also to remember not to take the incredible gift of this community for granted. You are a part of that health. I give thanks for you. And as we approach the end of one church year and be prepared to begin another, I look forward with you to what God will do in the next church year. And until next time, as always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.